Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Central Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at 256-837-8730. Worship is held every Sunday morning at 9, with Bible study following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5 on Sunday evenings. Wednesday Bible study is held at 7 o'clock. Now we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen.
As I said Wednesday night, I talked about four of our members here at church that went to a football game. That would happen to be Alan and Jim Foy. It was Matt Beard, and it was Clint Dozier. Saturday before last, on October the 23rd, they made their way up to Neyland Stadium in Knoxville to see Alabama take on Tennessee. No, they were not there by themselves. There were several other thousand people there cheering their team on. I mean, standing and just screaming and yelling for 11 men that they're very fond of, tackling each other, knocking each other senseless, all because they're chasing a ball like this one up and down the field. I don't know why they do it. I mean, who needs to go to Neyland Stadium to watch a football game? I mean, think about spending 10 hours on the road. And then there is the expense of the fuel. There's the cost of the tickets and the refreshments inside. And then the cost of the Kleenex on the way home for the losing team. I mean, you get there, you have to sit on these hard plastic bleachers and watch a game that you can hardly see. I mean, why not stay home, sit in the recliner, eat some popcorn or chocolate ice cream or something, and enjoy instant replay? Doesn't that make more sense to you? I mean, you can stay home and watch your favorite team play football. You don't have to go there and spend hours on the road and fight the traffic and fight the crowds. But let's be honest. Given all of those negatives, you know what? There were still almost 102,000 people there that particular Saturday. And we must admit, if given the right circumstances, you and I would want to be there too. Why is that true? It's because there is something special about being there to watch it personally. I mean, something special about being a part of it, about being involved in it. I want to ask you another question this morning. Who needs the church to worship God? I mean, I can think respectful thoughts about God while I'm sitting on my deck drinking coffee. I can sing songs of love about God while I'm in the shower. I can read the 23rd Psalm while I'm laying in bed. I mean, if worship is a personal matter between the Lord and me, then why have all of these expensive buildings? Why go to church when going there doesn't make you a Christian more than swimming in the ocean makes you a fish? Well, perhaps you've heard of some of these flimsy arguments. But perhaps, maybe, just maybe, you have discovered that there is something very special about being in the church with God's people. Maybe you know that there is a kind of encouragement that comes to your own heart when you are worshiping here with your brothers and sisters. Yes, a person does not have to go to church to be a Christian, and he doesn't have to go home to be married either. But in both cases, if he does not, his relationship with the Lord and his wife will be ruined. The truth is, my brothers and sisters, I need the church, and you need the church as well. But I'm afraid that the church of our Lord has fallen on some hard times. I mean, there never have been more critics of the church than there are today. And there's even some misguided Christians who have fooled themselves into thinking that the church is optional, that maybe small groups is the answer. But I'm here to share with you this morning that the God who created us with longings to belong never intended that the Christian should live in isolation. God knows that we need each other. You know why? Because He made us that way. He really did. So we need the church. We need the church to grow and to mature and to worship and live together as believers should. That's called the church. The Bible knows nothing of solitary religion. It's kind of interesting to me that if you look through the New Testament, that you can find the word saints, that is plural, some 61 times, but you only find the word saint in the singular one time. It's found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 21, where Paul says, "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus." There he's still talking about saints, many people. That tells me that we need each other. And the Lord has provided the church for that particular need. Now the word church in the New Testament is the Greek word ekklesia. It is made up of two words, ek, out from, and kaleo means to call. So the church is the called out ones. We are the ones who have been called out of the world together. And in the New Testament, there are two basic meanings of church. First, there's the church that is universal. When we read in Ephesians 4 about the one body, or Colossians 1, talking about Christ as head of the church, that is a universal church. When one hears of the gospel, and that seed begins to germinate and grow and creates belief and faith within a person, and that person then repents of their sin, begins to live in the way God wants them to live, confesses Jesus before men and women, and is buried in baptism for the remission of their sins, at that moment they are added to the Lord's church, Acts 2:47. That is the church universal. But there is a second use of the word church, and that is the local church, the local congregation. Some people would have you to believe that the local church is a very non-essential treatment of the word ekklesia. But I want to share something with you today, and that is this. The word church is found 114 times in the New Testament. 92 of the 114 times it refers to the local church, the local congregation. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, you see the church at Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 13, you see the church at Antioch. Romans 16, you see the church at Cenchrea. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, you see the church at Corinth. In the book of Revelation, when John wrote to the seven churches of Asia, he listed them and called them by name. It's kind of interesting that there are many intellectuals today, elitists, if you will, in the Lord's church that are trying to deviate from the pattern which we find in the New Testament pertaining to the church. And what they say is, you know, you look back at the early church and really what it was is just a sort of general entity that really had no organization and no one needed to give their allegiance and loyalty to it. But you know what? That's quite a contrast from what I find when I look into the Scriptures. When I look into the Scriptures and I see the church of our Lord, you know what I see? I see a church that is highly organized. A church that came together on the first day of the week, Acts 20, verse 7. A church that knew how many were in their number. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And you can also go over to Acts 4, verse 4. Went from 3,000 to 5,000. They knew. They appointed qualified elders and deacons. Acts 6, Acts chapter 14, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1. So this is a church that was highly organized and highly structured. They even practiced discipline and withdrew from people, from members who were involved in unrepentant sin and walking disorderly. 1 Corinthians 5, 2 Thessalonians 3:14, Romans 16:17. They even kept a list of the widows that needed to be supported, and then they took care of them. 1 Timothy 5, 4 through 9. And they also instructed the membership that they were to follow the elders' leadership. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and verse 17. So you see that? I mean, here's a group that is very highly organized. I mean, the church of the New Testament, which is the only church that we look to for instruction, was very structured, and they came together for a specific task. It's kind of interesting that when Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus, he wrote them specifically to tell them how the church was to be organized, and then he instructed them on how to deal with specific problems. On the day of Pentecost, and Acts 2, the day that the church began, you recall that 3,000 were added to the church that one day. The local church then sent Paul and Barnabas on mission trips. In fact, we read that when they came back, they gave a mission report. Paul and his companions spent years establishing, encouraging, building up the church, local churches all over Asia Minor. In fact, 9 of the 13 letters of Paul are written specifically to local churches to help them deal with the problems that they were facing. So, listen, there is no room with anyone who has an honest heart to come up with the idea that the church somehow is optional. Wouldn't you agree? If that is the case, what we have stated this morning, then we have to ask another question. Why is it that there are so many across our land in the Lord's church that don't find it important enough to become visibly involved in the local church? Why are so many so content to come to sit and listen? I want to say that we don't have that problem at West Huntsville. Thank the Lord. We have somewhere around 70 to 72% of this body that is active and involved. And when you exclude the little children and those who are shut in, you're down to somewhere between 10 and 12%. And before we begin to pat ourselves on the back, you know what we need to do? We need to have the 10 or 12% working, serving the Lord. I have up behind me, and I've just quickly last night listed these. These are our works at West Huntsville in areas of evangelism, edification, benevolence, the three main works of the church. And I put that up there so you can see the works and who are over those works. So it's possible today that you say, you know what, I need to get involved. I need to begin working more in the church. And that's how you can do that. I think it was kind of interesting that B.C. Smith came to me about a week ago, and he had a list of all those who had signed up to help with the sound room. And he said, this is the person that I would like, you know, to go ahead and have working in the sound room next. And I said, well, that's great. So you know what BC did? He went and he asked that person. And that person said, yes, I would be glad to do it. That's how it's done. That's how it's done. And so what I'm going to do is tonight, before service starts, is we'll just scroll these lists of our works and those over the works. It could be that perhaps in your mind, your creative mind, you've looked around and you've noticed that there's a need that's not being taken care of here at West Huntsville. Maybe there's a new work. Go to our elders and say, you know what, I've got an idea for a new work. A place that I could use my talents and abilities. That's great. That's exactly what we want in the Lord's church. But you might be saying, well, you know, I come 3 times a week. Isn't that enough? Why is it that I should be involved? Why is it that I should belong? Well, I'm going to give you some reasons this morning that are very important. I don't want you to miss them. The first reason that you need to belong and to be involved in the Lord's church, because it is God's plan, it is God's pattern. If you look back into the Old Testament, what you will discover is you see God placing His chosen people. And how did He place them? He placed them together so that they could live and so they could move. They were together. You see, the children of Israel were designed and constructed and put together in such a way that they would meet the needs of each other, of the other Jews. And you come to Acts chapter 2, the beginning of the church. And what you would discover there is Acts 2:44 says, is look, that all the believers were together. Those who believed were together and had what? All things in common. And then you go to Acts chapter 4, verse 32. It says, and the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. That is the church of Christ, the body of Christ to which you belong, where you and I can find strength from each other. In the Lord's church, you know what you find? You find instruction. You find encouragement. You find sympathy. You find accountability. You find wise counsel. You find strength when we come together. From just your presence and my presence, we draw strength from that. And when we come together with our different talents and abilities that God has given us, you know what you find? You find completeness. Yes, my friends, that is the Lord's church. We need to be involved, not only because it is God's plan and it is God's pattern, but it is also God's plan for world evangelism. Did you know that? You see, as a church, we are instructed, we are commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. I want to promise you something this morning. That there will never, ever be a super aggressive outside the church organization that will take the gospel to the world. It's never going to happen. It is only through the local church. It's kind of interesting that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. He said twice in chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 23, you know what he said? That the gospel had been taken to the known world. And I want to tell you something. They didn't do that with uncommitted, non-involved, sit-in-the-pew, watch-what-goes-on people. They did that with people who put their lives on the line. People who stood up and said, you know what? I'm going to be involved. I am not going to be a spectator. And my friends, because of their willingness to serve, they were used as a mighty army for God to change the world of their day. Only through the local churches. West Huntsville supports full-time some 19 missionaries from India to the Ukraine to Colombia, Argentina. And that's made possible because you're involved here. You are committed here. Because you are liberal givers here. That can happen. So you affect world evangelism, but you also affect even local evangelism. Our ladies have a program called Seamwork. And what they do is that when we go on these mission trips, they will load us down with blankets and supplies, so that we can give to the missionaries and their wives so they can carry on life while they're taking the gospel to their community, wherever it is in the world. You see how that's done? Through the local church. But the third reason to be involved and to belong to the local church here at West Huntsville, not only because it is God's pattern and plan and God's plan for world evangelism, but also because it has a powerful effect on other Christians. I suppose that one of the most tragic statements that you could hear after leaving the assembly is someone to say this, Well, I didn't get much out of it. My needs were not met. I was not fed. I. Did you hear that? You see, what has happened in this me-centered world in which we live, we have decided that church is a place where we go and we get something for ourselves instead of a place where we go and we give something of ourselves. Hebrews 10:25 tells us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And if you read that passage very carefully and closely, what you will discover is there is none of the me-centered theology we have come to know today. It doesn't say, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together so that you can always be encouraged, so that you can always be built up, so that you can always be inspired, so that you can always have your way. My friends, it doesn't say anything like that. But it says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together because it is our job to what? Encourage one another. Provoke one another unto good works. In other words, help each other. You see, our own spiritual welfare cannot be the sum total of our concern. Yeah, you say, well, Paul, I need something. Yes, you do. But listen, when you come to the assembly and you listen to those around you about how their day is gone, how their week is gone, what's going on in life, you know what's happening? You're giving, but you know what's happening? You're getting. That's the way it works. I want you to think about it. By your presence today, you know what you're saying? You're telling the world what side you're on. You're telling the world what you stand for, what your convictions are. But more importantly, you are spurring other Christians in this auditorium to live faithfully for Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? That's what you're doing. Preachers don't often admit it, but many times there are things that go on during the week that sometimes are very discouraging. And I may come here and be discouraged and know that if I'm not prayerful and not very careful in my life, that Satan will get the upper hand in my life. And when I come here and I see all of you and I get to talk to you, you know what I understand? That this is not a solitary war that I fight. That you're in it too. And that your encouragement keeps me going. It spurs me on to be better, to do better. I need the church and you need the church as well. So let's resolve today that we, if we're not involved and we don't feel as though we belong, that we will take steps to do that here at West Huntsville. Because West Huntsville needs you and you need to be used by God to encourage others. You really do. The fourth reason that you need to be involved and you need to belong to the local church is because, it is a public way to demonstrate your commitment to Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Can you love Jesus Christ and not love His body? Suppose that you are one of the two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. And there you met Jesus. And your response to Jesus, all that He has just done, you look at Him, you say, Lord, you know what? I love You. I mean, I really love You. But I don't like Your body. I don't like those nail prints in your hands and in your feet. I don't like that spear wound in your side. Lord, I love You, but I don't love Your body. None of us would ever say something like that, would we? No, we wouldn't. How can you say that you love Christ and not His body, the church? Listen, you do love His body if you love the church and are committed to it. You know, I think there's an epidemic that has been sweeping the Western world for some time, and that is the epidemic of commitment. I mean, you kind of see it in our universities where students are taking longer and longer to declare their majors because they don't want to commit. Men and women are ending marriage with easy escape clauses because they don't want to commit. People are taking jobs with a weary reserve that keeps them always looking out for something better. My brothers and sisters, you will never know the joy that can come to your heart, which happens to be one of the greatest joys that there is on earth, until you commit yourself to the Lord's church here. Sometimes we have to take a step back and we have to say, you know what? How am I doing in my involvement? How am I serving Christ? Am I faithful? Well, Paul, you know, as I told you before, I come 3 times a week. I mean, I attend and I attend and I attend. I mean, I'm a great attender. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about attending. I'm talking about belonging. And there's a difference. One is convenience. The other is commitment. One is a game. The other is serious. One is easy to walk away from, the other, it isn't. One, you give a little bit of yourself, and the other, you totally commit yourself. I pray that that's what all of us will do today, that we will resolve to belong, to be committed to the Lord's church here at West Huntsville. What is your church attendance saying about your commitment to Christ? What is it broadcasting? What is your service saying about the love you have for Jesus Christ? What is your checkbook saying about who or what occupies your life? You know what I believe? I believe this is just going to keep happening, and this church is going to become more and more involved, and we're going to reach new and greater heights in the church's maturity, and that we are going to become an army for God in Huntsville. We're going to continue to do good works as we're doing right now. We're going to continue to look around us and the people in our neighborhood, those people at work, and bring them to Christ. And I know that we can do it. This is a great church here, and I am so thankful to be a part of it. That's a good question, isn't it? Are you a part of the church? Are you a part of the church universal? We've outlined today how you become a Christian. I pray that you will do that today. We'll work till Jesus comes, and then we will be gathered home. That's my goal. I know that's yours. If you have a need, won't you come today as we stand and as we sing?
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.